Good morning and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7, Newark Heath, brought to you by Licking County Transit. With fixed routes and on-demand response service, they've got your transportation needs covered. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guests today, Jill Medley and Matt McHenry with Learning for Life Farm. Cloudy skies throughout the day, high near 64, mostly cloudy tonight. And then for your Thursday, mix of sun and clouds, chance of rain, high near 75. Jill, Learning for Life, I was out there for your fall festival last year and just had an absolute blast. I know Joel says he drives by there all the time and sees it. But for folks who maybe are tuning in or going, okay, what's Learning for Life? Maybe explain what the mission is, what you guys are trying to do.
Okay. So Learning for Life Farm, was established in 2019, so we are in our sixth year. That was when we built the barn and everything, though. So really about 4 years of programming going on. We tend to have kids in transition age, which is typically 13, 14 on up. Students come out and attend the farm and work with their hands, get in the dirt, work with the animals, those kinds of things. Most of our students have autism or a related disability, and we are working on employability skills, mm-hmm. teaching them things that will transfer and generalize into the community and hopefully a job down the road.
I would think sense of community probably is a key part of what you
Huge.
Do there.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about that when we had an event last Thursday night and how many people from the community showed up to support us and help raise money for the farm. It's been really, really nice to see how many people come out and support it and see the things that the kids are doing to prepare for that. You know, the kids like actually get things ready for the events that we have so they can see their work that the kids are putting into things.
Okay, the event they were at was a Blue Jackets. They were doing
yes.
the 50-50 raffle.
Right.
Yes.
Who was hardest on people, you or you, man? I mean, who was running around going, you better, oh, look at this.
No, it wasn't
here.
Me. It was my husband did that part.
Yeah, I was carrying the sign
yes,
around
he was
trying
too.
To entice people. But, you know, in those situations, most people who want to buy are going to find you.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you didn't have like little onion, eat a little onion before, little tears coming down your face.
But it is an absolutely wonderful time when they come up to just get 10, 15 seconds with somebody just to tell them what you're about, what you're there to do. And it's amazing how many people can identify and have either a family member, friend, some sort of person in their life that is touched by autism. So it's pretty powerful, 10, 15 seconds to share with somebody who you've never met before.
And, you know, just listening to different people on different boards that I sit on, you hear folks who say, and we'll get into your story, but they do say, man, how many folks are dealing with the same thing, but they're not sure. And then they talk to you or they talk to Jill and they're like, well, yeah, that is right. I'm not the only one, because you need to have that support of each other, correct? Outside of what you folks are doing, just to have a parent or somebody else you can talk to.
Oh, absolutely. It can be kind of isolating when you first kind of realize the situation you're in, but that is where that community comes in. You're like, oh my gosh, there's this whole other subset of people who know exactly what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful to be able to connect with them on a regular basis.
And remind folks how you got involved. Because, I mean, it's not every time you just drive down the road and
absolutely.
Go, hey, I'm going to go help these guys.
My son is on the spectrum. And we had the fortunate opportunity through the work that I do in construction to work alongside with Jill and her team as building their schools who were dedicated to kids with IEP plans who are on the spectrum. And just having the chance to work with them and see the care that they took in the planning and the setup and the environments and how they supported the kids, it just really touched me. So I decided I needed to do something to help. You look around sometimes and you expect everybody else to step up, or you think, oh, somebody else will take care of that. But it's really up to you. It's really up to us, the people who are experiencing this every day. It really comes to us to be the ones to step up. And so I felt like I had to do that.
Mm-hmm. Jill, you mentioned the students. What is the age range then that your folks are dealing with? And how do folks get referred? I mean, how does that all work if somebody says, well, I think I know somebody could benefit from this?
So typically we're working with late middle school to high school students. So anywhere from 13 to 21, working with young adults that will be transitioning, you know, into a work environment within those years. We do also do some more like field trip opportunities for younger kids. We have a Mommy and Me Day during the summer. So we do have some opportunities for the younger kids to come out and get their hands in there and explore the farm. But we're not teaching them resume skills like we are with the older kids.
When you have like that Mommy and Me class, or when you have new prospective people, are they reluctant? I mean, is it like, wow, this is big, or wow, I'm not sure about this? Or is it already like, hey, this is going to be great for us?
You know, I think it varies because we get families from different and students from different parts of the city. So I think when we get these kids that are from maybe Newark or Johnstown, they maybe have a little more farming experience than our kids that are coming. We do have kids that are coming from Columbus and from Canal Winchester, and some of them are like, whoa, I've never, you know, clean the alpaca poop.
What comes out of that end? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, so it's really different, I think, you know, based on their past experiences. Okay. However, I would say 75 to 85% of them probably don't have much farming experience. Okay. So it is new. And most of them prefer the flowers and the vegetables to cleaning the barn, but they do love the animals.
Seems like just a subset of humanity.
Yes, I think
that
you're
seems
right.
Pretty regular.
That sounds like somebody who's ready to go into management.
Yes. There you go.
You have special aptitude, young lady. We want to talk to you. So who works with them then? Who's on your staff out there? Who works with the folks?
We have an amazing intervention specialist named Amanda that is the lead. Lead everything out there. She really does the majority of the programming and working with the students. And then we have another great girl named Jess that is kind of more of the administrative side. She does a lot of our outreach and community, Facebook, mm-hmm. social media, and all that stuff.
How'd you get involved? I mean, I know you've been involved for a while, but I mean, what was it that, you know, sparked that interest?
So I was the CEO and founder of a group of schools called the Learning Spectrum that I started many years back. And as those kids that I worked with when they were little and they started graduating, and I would find that they were sitting at home and not really out in the community, we decided that we needed to do something about that. So we started the farm to kind of help these kids before they get to that age and help their parents, you know, experience things like, hey, my kid could do this. My kid could get a job. My kid, you know, because they see him at school, but that's a pretty safe environment for them. And they've been there for a long time. And they're with their peers they've been with since kindergarten, taking them and putting them in a new environment and showing them themselves and their parents that they've got a lot of skills that they've learned throughout the years was important to me to see that they have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like we're finding more and more, and Matt, maybe you can speak to this, as far as like, you know, getting tested, you're finding more and more things that they put on the spectrum, more and more kids are coming in. Have you seen that over the years?
Oh, wow,
this would have never been, you know, classified autism 10, 15 years ago, and now you're finding more of it, so many more people?
Yeah, the spectrum has definitely expanded in terms of what would qualify for services and whether that's just better diagnosis, if it's increased awareness. I it's hard to tell, but we definitely have a lot more. And we have a lot of families that come in maybe with a kid who's classically autistic. And then you find out there's a sibling or a couple siblings that have some autistic like, you know, tendencies that we can, you know, they all benefit from being part of the program. Mm-hmm.
It seems educationally too, I mean, even in public schools, a lot of variety now of like credits and course track and those kind of things. And it's because it seems like education is starting to reach out, like trying to hit kids where they are rather than like, hey, we got a teacher, we got 30 kids, let's do the thing, A's, B's, C's, done, move on, whatever. So do you find that in your environment too? Like some kids you have to work a little more closely with, some are, you know, more sight and sound oriented. Other ones are like, wow, I need like a lot less of that. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a challenge.
Yeah, I think for our population, it's been really great to see the variety. And what sets us apart, I think, from a lot of other programs is we meet individually with each one of these kids. Our groups are pretty small that come through, but we meet individually and we set individual goals with them. And we monitor those as we move through the program. So it's not just, oh, come here and as a group you'll get treated or to this program or that program. It's really individualized. And for us, that gives us much more insight into, you know, where are these kids at now and how do we get them to where they need to be. It's not, when I first started and when Jill was telling me about, we need to get job skills trained, job. And so I'm thinking like, oh, they're going to learn how to like make something or fix something or somehow, you know, this very specific skill. But really what we're trying to do is get them used to working and taking a step back from those specific skills and saying, how do we get them to operate in a group environment comfortably? How do we get them to be part of a process and not have to understand the entire process, but just to do their part? There are those types of social skills that we take for granted, but that are so necessary to be able to be successful in the workplace. And that's really what we're trying to focus on is those sorts of skills so that they are able to be trained to do a specific skill. They're able to operate within a workplace office environment for a full day. Mm-hmm. That's the work.
In the special education world, those are called soft skills.
Yeah. She knows all the terminology. Yeah, I just
described it beautifully.
Beautiful, absolutely.
Those soft skills that are not necessarily taught directly that a typically developing young person picks up in school through just being part of their, you know, classroom. Then those have to be specifically taught a lot of times.
Yeah. And to Jill's point, like what she found, I mean, there's some statistic that it's crazy. Like 85% of the kids adults on the spectrum are not fully employed. And we all know what jobs mean to us. So it's important.
Yeah.
Important.
Well, and it's interesting too. I mean, just like with the backdrop of college basketball right now, you know, the tournament, you get aware of certain education facilities, and High Point's one of those places that a lot of people are like, wow, they really broke out into the scene and all that, and they're like, hey, well then you learn like the college, what they do there, like they do classes like, you know, hey, you're going to be riding in an elevator one day with a decision maker, you got 20 seconds to make an impression, so they put them in an elevator and give them 20 seconds, or like set them in a dinner setting. And they're like, hey, you got to learn what forks to use at the right time, and here's your water glass and those things, but present well to maybe move yourself forward. So you're just doing that kind of thing on a different level.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I read a lot of that about High Point. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's such a small school, mm-hmm. and that they really focus on real world experiences. It's really cool, and I feel like that is some of what we're doing, you know, putting the kids in environments where these are the things you're going to encounter in the real world, whether it's a big egg hunt like we have coming up, you know, whether it's something like that and the kids come out and participate in that with us, or it's smaller, you know, in the hoop house working with the vegetables, trying to expose them to different things and help them learn how to navigate situations is what we're doing.
Well, in the metaphor of dealing with alpaca droppings is probably paying mad dividends. I mean, we all work in the workforce. We know exactly what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 94.3 Western Lincoln County, brought to you by Lincoln County Transit. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country, 94.3 Western Licking County, brought to you by Licking County Transit, safely connecting people to places and possibilities. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guests today, Jill Medley and Matt McInerney with the Learning for Life Farm. Cloudy skies today, mostly cloudy tonight, and then for your Thursday, partly sunny, chance of rain, but a high of 75 degrees. Now, we were just joking about Buckeye Lake Winterfest, 75 degrees to minus 22, but God bless you, Jill, you were out there in that. I mean, that's crazy over there.
It was crazy.
But you were smart because you said, I did not
go at the crack of dawn. I went a little later, and I had a very warm hat and a very heavy coat.
That's right. It's unbelievable. Folks have so much fun there. Speaking of having a lot of fun, you guys have got some great events coming up. You kind of touched on the Easter egg hunt, but how about a little bit more details, when, where, all those good kind of things?
Yeah, our egg hunt this year is coming up on Saturday, April 4th, and it'll be from
10 to 1.
So come on out. We'll have you'll get a chance to look at the farm store. We'll have lots of good stuff that's been prepped by the kids. We'll have an egg hunt, of course. We'll have the Easter Bunny in live and in person. So excited for that. And it's just a great chance to come out and see us and just kind of see what we're doing and ask as many questions as you can. Get a look around. We might even have some early season stuff to hand out. So, yeah,
I haven't heard yet. Are the baby chicks making an appearance?
I believe so. We are working on.
Awesome.
We should have a new goat and chicken barn delivered in the next couple of weeks, maybe even in the next week.
Yeah.
And so we'll have some new denizens out there. We'll have a couple of smaller goats. Well, four or five. And then I think we have 6 to 8 chickens. Mm-hmm. So we're slowly expanding the membership at the farm. Yeah. So,
nothing excites kids like baby animals. I mean, baby goats. I mean, is there anything cuter than a baby goat?
We don't think so. That's why.
My wife might just hike over for that.
Yeah, it was a very, the farm director was very adamant that if we were going to add to the farm offering, that it should be something that is loved and by virtually everyone that sees them, and that is baby goats.
Yeah.
So we are excited.
The force
to have
is
that.
Strong here right now. I'm sensing a surge in the force.
And this is open to everybody, right? This isn't open just to the folks that you deal with. Come on out, as you mentioned, learn, have some fun. Where are you located at? Again, folks are wanting to know where it's at.
We're at 3062 Johnstown Utica Road, and it is open to everybody. It's open to the community. It's a free event for the community. So ideally, we just really want people to come in and get a sense of who we are, support some of the things that the kids have done. The kids have been making candles. They've been making bird feeders, all kinds of things. They use the alpaca wool to make bird feeders, all kinds of things that they're going to try to show what they're working on while they're there.
How many alpacas you have out there?
Six.
Six, okay. Mm-hmm. So just enough?
Just
not
enough.
Too many.
Yes.
That's
and
exactly right.
We're just shearing?
Yeah, they've
so
just got sheared.
If you're out there and you knit, we have some amazing material that we get processed from the alpaca fur. So definitely would love to share that with you. So if you want to come out and see what we have there, we have all sorts of different things. But mostly you can get a chance to see like where you can help. Maybe if it's not being able to volunteer time or anything like that, we have a lot of other options. You know, you can come and work with the groups. We have opportunities there, or financial support, or, you know, hey, we have a flower CSA you could join, and maybe that's something you could share with your friends. We have a lot of different ways for you to support us, and we would love to show you how you can do that when you come out and visit us.
And how are you funded? I mean, let folks know. I mean, you need help like everybody else.
We do need help like everyone else. That's a good way to put it. So we do have some contracts that school districts will sign with us to bring their kids out, and they come out twice a month if we can get them there. But we also it's all foundation, donation, grants, every way we can think of to bring in money.
Because it's not easy. I mean, you're talking about you did the 50-50 raffle with the Blue Jackets and different things like that. What are some of the other events, fundraisers that you guys do throughout the year if people can't make it out over Easter weekend for the egg hunt?
So like Matt said, this year we're doing a CSA where people can sign up and get a subscription and get flowers. And they can choose, I believe, whether they want to cut the flowers themselves or they can be pre-cut and and put. We have a farm stand, so we do sell produce and things like that out of the farm stand. We also work with Happy Dog, and they sell some of our produce and some of the things the kids make and some of our merch. Regularly. And what am I missing?
Oh, well, as far as our big event for the year is our fall festival, which you went to last year. So we have not yet set a date for that, but we'll be getting a date set for that coming up soon. But that, we always need sponsorships. So if you have, if you work or own a company or work for a company that's looking to support a very needed community service, we would love to have as many businesses step up and sponsor our event in the fall as we possibly could. It really makes it so much more impactful for us. We have a big gap to cover every year with donations, fundraising, and grants, and it's becoming increasingly difficult currently with the grants specifically. So it's very, very important that we get some community support and really kind of step that up for us.
And that fall festival, as you mentioned, I was out there last year with my little brother, and we had an absolute ball. I mean, it was so much fun, different things. You had some really cool vendors that were out there. I mean, and you just had the different, I'm trying to think of the
food trucks.
Yeah, but you had those smallish, like, cows. I can't remember what they were.
The Highlands.
Yes.
The Highland
and Mike,
cattle.
I mean, he absolutely loved it. Yeah, well, I mean, of course, now one took care of business while we were standing there, and he's like, can we go over here and look at something else now? I'm like, yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact, everybody kind of walked away. Like, hey, we're going to get over there, and again, we'll have you back in to talk about the dates and times.
Absolutely.
You talked about ways that people can help, and Jill, you had mentioned that you're having some board members who are coming off the board. How do people get involved? What is it that they need to do then if they want to join your board? What are some of the things they need to know?
So we meet monthly, virtually, and we try to get have an in-person meeting quarterly so that we all can kind of just see each other's faces and get to know each other a little bit better. But that's really, I mean, the main thing that we look for in board members are people who are willing to get in there, help us out at all these events, you know, volunteer, help set things up, and spread the word. We want people who are involved with their community, people who, you know, enjoy getting out there and telling people about our mission, telling people why they should be involved with us. That's really what we're looking for right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of making connections. The first board that I've served on, so I had no idea what I was getting into. But what it come and so you come
Hold
in with
minute,
all
you're
these.
You're not one of those ones that are terming off, are you?
Oh no. I am dedicated to this organization for the long haul. So, but no, when I first started, it was like, oh, I have to do all these things myself. I have to do these. It's all, but really what it is, it's making connections. It's who do I know in my circle that is an expert in something that we could really use at the farm, and how do I entice them or encourage them to use that skill to benefit us? It's reaching out to your networks and saying, who in my world can I get to help enrich this organization? And that's my role, is to make those connections. Mm-hmm. And so instead of having to do something or be somebody or any, just show up. Just be there, show up, be yourself, and then just think about how all the people you know in your life that could possibly get some benefit and joy out of helping us. I mean, the fact is I thought it was a pain in the butt asking people for help, but what you realize is they love to do it. It fulfills them in a way. So I don't know. There's a lot of power there. Mm-hmm. So that's primarily what we're looking for, is just people who are interested in making a difference in their community and have some connections that we would bring all the community forces to bear for us. So.
Pretty good spokesperson you got.
I know,
right,
that doesn't sound good. It sounded way better than my answer.
Well, you know, and what I like about it too, I mean, you know, where you're located, basically Route 62.
Yeah.
You know, so people, a lot of times things like this are like, where are you again? And you got, you know, dirt road, cow path, all this stuff. You're on a main drag. I mean, this is a major arterial in Licking County.
Yep. Yeah.
Easy to get to from all points. And, you know, if you drive at drive times, you know, the flashing lights there, so you know it's a school.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty abundantly clear. But what you're doing, you know, and that speaks to the farm community, too. Because when you're in Licking County, you know, there's educational opportunities all around. But there's a lot of farm people. And like you said, I've been doing this a while. I can share some knowledge.
Yeah.
So those people that can get in there and share some knowledge, I mean, this is real life. It's really happening right here.
We feel like with our facility, we have so much potential. And we are not all agriculture experts, but we have experts in programming for students. We have experts in finance. We have experts in construction. So we have all these people that can that are involved. It's just if we could expand this group to include people who can help guide the farm a little bit and help us develop new programming opportunities that they could see value in. Mm-hmm. That's really what excites us.
Mm-hmm. So. And we do have a new collaboration right now that we are working with Ohio State. So one of our board members is a professor at Ohio State, and she is having her class I think they're done. Mm-hmm. But part of their class at Ohio State was to put together the plans for our gardens. So then they put together the plans, and then we're implementing them. And then I think they're coming out to see, you know, what we've done afterwards. So it was part of their grade was to put these plans together.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you talk about, you know, with what you're doing, but that generation too, folks that are in college, they need to learn those skills as well.
Yes.
So, I mean,
yes.
they get to see, and who knows, maybe that, hey, mom, dad, what'd you guys do today? Oh, well, we were out doing this, and oh, yeah, mm-hmm. where were you? And it just kind of mm-hmm. goes from there. How long are your board terms?
3 years.
And when do you meet? I know you said you do virtual. And
that, we do virtual third Friday of every month, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Third Friday of every month for about an hour, hour and a half. Sometimes it'll stretch to depending on what we have to cover. But ideally, you know, it's not a huge time commitment. It's like I said, it's more about identifying opportunities to connect your network with the farm and make a difference that way.
Well, I can tell you this. You're in the construction business.
Yes.
I helped do some drywall yesterday. Let's just say that I was the grunt guy. So if you need somebody to clean out that alpaca barn, you may have found your man right here. Because it didn't take long for my brother to go, just go up there, cut it, and bring it down. That was pretty much my job.
And it's
yesterday.
Measure three times for you, not twice.
I did the cleanup, and I helped carry stuff. So I was pretty much a grunt
guy. Well, everybody has a role, so I'm glad that you did yours well.
I found mine, and it was like, got you covered, big boy. Don't worry. Worry about it.
Fantastic.
Jill, if folks want information on anything we talked about, what's the easiest way to get it?
Oh, I would say just go to our Facebook page at Learning for Life Farm. Everything is there. You can find information on the board. You can find information on our upcoming summer classes. You can find information, you know, on any current events. Probably, I think our Facebook page.
Yeah, Facebook page, and that directly will, if you just...
It links to our website.
It'll link to our website as well, where we have a lot of that information as well. But yeah, reach out to us and through those methods, and we'll be back to you just as quick as we can. And hopefully we can answer all your questions and get you involved.
And the egg hunt is when?
Saturday, April 4th. Coming up, day before Easter, can't miss it.
So, yep. And 300 eggs, you said? 300 to 400?
At least.
And you really hide them. You don't just scatter.
We do really hide them, and there's a golden egg with a good prize, so it's worth coming out.
Chinese fire drill. I mean, just as soon as you say go, man, gone. Them kids are out there running and looking. Well, Jill, Matt, as always, appreciate you coming in. Again, folks, go check it out, Learning for Life Farm. On Johnstown, State Route 62, U.S. Route 62. Go check them out or check out their Facebook page, doing great things in our community. So we appreciate you coming in. Be sure to join us on Friday as our guests will be Alex Corwin and Phil Kirk with Licking County Board of Developmental Disabilities. That's on Friday's Talk of the Town, brought to you by Licking County Transit.